and welcome to this week's episode of Asexuals Anonymous, the podcast where we talk all about asexuality. If you'd like to get in touch, please do. We love hearing all of your messages. The email address is asexualsanon@hotmail.com. My TikTok and Instagram is always open. My TikTok handle is amybutler66, AmieButler66, 66, and Instagram is amybutler96. We also have our Asexuals Anonymous Instagram page, which is Asexuals Anonymous Podcast. Please give that a follow. And we're also on YouTube. So go subscribe, join the community over there, and let's get on with this week's episode. So this week's episode, we've got a lovely guest on all the way from... Actually, where are you from?
Well, I'm currently living in the United States near Yellowstone National Park. Most people know where that is.
Oh, cool. It's exciting. Across the pond. Because we are worldwide. So we've got our lovely anonymous guest on today. Thank you so much for joining. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. And my name is Maya. You can call me by my first name. Yes.
Oh.
I'm doing great, Amy. I love the podcast, and I know everybody else who's out there listening loves it too, but when I first typed in asexual to Apple Podcasts, you know, I did not know what I was going to find.
Oh,
I was so relieved, like, to find you and, like, the positive energy and someone who is relatable, because, you know, it could have been anything out there. And so I fell in love with the podcast, and I'm so happy to be a guest.
Oh, thank you so much for joining. Honestly, it means so much. We've been trying to get guests on for so long. It's just hard, like, with scheduling and stuff. So thank you so much for making the time. What, just out of interest, when you typed in into your search bar asexuals, did anything else come up? Was there anything else on there?
There were individual episodes about asexuality and just... I think queerness in general and things like that, but I didn't actually see another podcast that was fully devoted to this journey.
Yeah, because that's what I thought as well. I think a couple of years ago, I did the same thing. I kind of typed it into Spotify, and there was one podcast called Ace in Grace. And honestly, it was amazing, but they only did like a certain amount of episodes. I hope they're still on there. And if they are, honestly, I recommend going to listen, because it made me feel very like connected and not alone and things. But yeah, they only did a few episodes. And so I was like, oh, do you know what? There's a proper space for this. So I'm glad that you found us.
Me too. I think it was meant to be.
Yeah. And you've got a really interesting story, because you used to be married, right?
That's right. I was.
And now you're not.
And now I'm not. Yes, that's right. Yeah, I've had a number of long-term committed relationships despite my asexuality.
Have you? How can we talk? Sort of talk about your realization story, and how you realized you were asexual and how you learned of this sexuality, if you didn't know it sort of growing up, because I didn't know it growing up, and my realization story is quite traumatic. So I just wondered what kind of like yours was like.
Well, see, now I'm curious about yours. Well, I'll just tell you a little overview. So I think I always did realize I was different. I mean, I remember the day that my sister first asked about sex, my older sister, because she saw my parents. And she says, what is that?
Oh,
and, you know,
God.
From the very beginning, they sat us down, they drew pictures, they explained everything. And from the very beginning, she was, like, really interested. She's like, so if I love my husband one day, like, we're going to do that and it's going to be good, right, mommy? And my mom was like, yes, it's so good. Like, it's so great. And I was like, this is disgusting. I was like, I was only 3 years old. So at the time I thought, okay, maybe eventually one day, like, I'm going to really love this. But then, like, as my life went on, like, I kind of continued to feel that way. So then I remember, like, the great sexual awakening amongst all my girlfriends, like, when we were in middle school. you think maybe you call that secondary school, when we were like 12 years old, and all of them started sneaking out of the house at night. Like, a lot of them started having sex then around age 12, 13. Yes, it was shocking. And so again, I thought, you know, okay, so I was mature. Like, I was maturing in every other way, but I was like, okay, maybe I just need to grow up. You know, they're interested in, not all of them were having sex, but a lot were, but they were definitely doing sexual activity. And I just did not want to. So, like, some of our guy friends were like, hey, you want to come? Like, you know, we could spend some time together, just sneak out. Like, and I was like, really? I don't. Like, I actually want to sleep. Like, I'm not, like, I'm really not that interested. But for some strange reason, like, everyone throughout my life always had seen in me some sort of sexuality, like, in a strong way. And so I don't know, like, I just, like, went on and on, and I thought, you know, it's in me. And people would say, it's in me, like, I just haven't discovered it yet, right? And so people would say, like, you just have to meet the right person and things like that. And, you know, I had some really good relationships in college and all these kind of things. And the way that I sort of dealt with this, like, throughout my life is when I was younger, I would just kind of choose really nice guys who were, like, on the Christian journey. And they were like, you know, I'm saving myself for marriage. And I was like, excellent. Like,
that works for me. Like,
I was like, that is amazing. Like, I will help you. Like, I will really help you stay on track. And I did. And I would, like, go to church with them and, like, do all the things. But the whole time I was like, again, people projecting this on me. And even, like, my sister owned a photography business. We did, like, boudoir photos. She would take pictures of me. Some of them won contests. I mean, this is a whole thing. So everyone said to me, like, when you meet the right person, you're probably gray ace. So I heard about that first, or demisexual. Like, if you get the feelings, like, then you will develop these sexual appetites and all of this stuff. And I really didn't know, because up until that point, I didn't really believe, I guess. Now, this is a strange positionality in the world, but, like, I think I didn't really believe that true asexuals were real, because there was no representation at the time. So I assumed what everyone else assumed, like, it's within me and it's going to come out in the right circumstances or whatever. Well, I was so blessed that the right circumstances, like, the most ideal circumstances in the world happened. And I actually met, like, my one true real soulmate. And, like, we had, like, the most greatest, best story that anyone could ever hope to have. I mean, I really cannot complain. And I thought to myself, well, now's the time, right? Like, this is going to be the most, you know what I mean? Like, it's possible, like, it was just part of our destiny. And, like, now there will be a sexual awakening within me. And so, you know, we moved in together, we got engaged, we did the whole thing, we eventually got married, and yeah, it never happened. Like, I never developed sexual attraction to him ever. Now, granted, for me, and everybody's journey is different, I experienced romantic attraction, which has allowed me to sustain relationships with individuals. But I never, like, I always, I guess for me, like, thinking about sexual activity, it's pretty similar. I would compare it to, like, cleaning the toilet or going to the dentist. Like, it's something unfortunate that must be done to keep life going. At least that's what I thought, like, for a while. So now I've been single for a bit. But
in that relationship, would you say that you were sexually active?
I would say that I forced myself to be sexually active on a routine basis, but it was the most bare minimum that I could possibly get by with. Because overall, I think, like, I'm a little bit closer to sex repulsed.
I was going to ask, where do you think you are?
I don't think I'm the worst. I don't know. I guess it's like a spectrum. But I do find a lot of, like, sexual activity to be a little bit disgusting, right? Because I don't get, like, the attraction or the feelings. And if you just think about, like, what's happening, like, if you actually think about it, I mean, it's I don't know. Like, it's really a bit strange. So anyway,
It's interesting to like think that it's natural, right?
Yeah, well, it's natural, of course, because like if you look at elephants, right, do you know our cats or
But
like
it's
dogs?
weird, like how is it a natural thing?
Yeah. And I think when you don't like want to reproduce, and I kind of had this knowing from the time I was a little girl that I didn't really want to have kids. Like maybe I was on some kind of other path. And he didn't want to have kids either. So that part was okay, at least. But especially, I think if you're asexual, you're not sexually attracted, like to anyone. And you don't want to have kids, then it really doesn't make sense. Because if you want to have kids, that makes sense to me. That totally makes sense. It's like, okay, well, this is how you have kids. So like, if you want to have kids, you should do it for as much as you need to produce children, at least, you know? But I just kept thinking, like, I don't know, like what he sees in me, what all my friends see in me, my family, even my mom, like every birthday would give me all this lingerie and all these sexual things. Like even she thought, like, this is definitely happening, like with my daughter. Like we would always go to Victoria's Secret and buy all the things and everything. And I was like, I don't want this. Like, I don't want any of this. Like,
Oh wow. So she thought that you were like into it with your partner.
Yeah, even my own sister, like we would drive around, like go on these road trips, and they would talk about their sexual escapades, and I would just sit there and I would just listen. Like I would laugh like at the right moments and stuff, but I never said like, oh, and me too. But everyone in my life assumed that. And so until finally, so I find myself, and Amy knows, like we eventually got an annulment and it was granted because of my asexuality in large part, which is wild. Like that almost never happens. But I think that the court of law was just like really kind to us. But it was actually him that first brought up to me the fact that this was like a valid way to be in the world. And he said to me, really, truly, Maya, I think you're asexual. And I was like, that doesn't exist. Like, that's only for starfish. Like, that doesn't exist, like, in people. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, I don't know. So, and he's like, no, in all seriousness. And he was really serious. He's like, you don't seem to have any real interest in sex or any real sexual attraction. Like, I've listened to you talk about all your relationships, like, when we go to the movies, like you don't respond to the sex scenes. Like, I don't think, like, I really think you're not interested. And I was like, well, yeah, I'm not. But I was like, I don't know. I guess I just thought, like, probably like a lot of women feel the same way and they're just acting it out. 'Cause everything was it was all just pretend. Like, whenever I would engage in sexual behavior, it was just an act. But the thing is, like, especially when you're in your 20s and you're interacting with men, it doesn't take much, you know? So it's like they see what they want to see. Everyone does. So it's like, okay, I mean, if it
That's
works, it
so,
works.
so true. And how did you feel about maybe owning that label or identifying as that sexuality? How did that make you feel at the time?
So at the time, I didn't own the label. Like but I did own the behavior. I did recognize, okay, if I was living my healthiest, happiest life, like I wouldn't be doing anything sexual because I dread these experiences. And but like I thought of it as an exchange. I enjoy like having male company. I enjoy being in a relationship, at least at that point. So overall, like taking everything into account, the unwanted sexual activity was worth it in the grand scheme. But actually, it wasn't. Like, eventually, like, it wasn't because I started to feel really guilty, like I said, because I was doing bare minimum, like, to keep the relationship going, like, on a schedule and a routine, which is better than nothing, but is not
Is that what
ideal.
he wanted?
He didn't actually say that to me, but like I could tell. Do you know what I mean? Like a lot. Like, and I just started to feel like really, really bad. And because I loved him like a lot, and I wanted him to live his best life. And I started to kind of like see, you know, I think he's getting kind of like depressed. Like, I think he's like kind of unhappy. I think that the weird thing is, like, I think the whole time, like from the time that we started dating, I think he suspected that I was asexual. I think that he was woke to it. After all, I mean, he's the one that brought it to me.
That's amazing as well that he brought it to you. I find that incredible.
And he was willing, like, even at the end, to keep going. But I just, in my gut, I just felt this is not right. And I really felt like if he was with someone else who had the same interests, like sexually or even close, like that he would be a lot happier. So I really, really felt that. And so for me, there was a process of like a couple of years, like every day feeling worse and worse and worse. And I think up until that point, I just always assumed like my life would involve having unwanted sex no matter what. So it was just a matter of like with whom. And like in that case, he had like a thyroid condition that gave him maybe a little bit less sexual appetites. He didn't want to have the kids. He didn't really do a lot of drinking. So overall, like it felt like, okay, this is kind of like ideal circumstances, right? Like this is someone I feel a real connection with. And he's not like, you know, the most sexually interested. So maybe this could work. And it did kind of, but the guilt just started to overtake me. And I think it is hard to fake it.
Yeah, for that long as well, to keep it up as well.
And when someone knows you so well and you do have that connection, you know, it's easier, like, if you don't have the connection as much, actually, like, but when someone really knows you, like, truly deeply,
Yeah.
and they can tell that you're not, like, enjoying yourself really, that's hard. But I didn't claim the label actually until later. So like after that relationship was over.
So who ended it? Who suggested the annulment?
So I did. So one day, I think it had been building like within me, this feeling of guilt. And I had just been watching him, and I had been watching, like, I don't know, like I felt like his vitality was reducing. And I don't know. I really just woke up one day and I just had this like clear instinct. And I just thought, you know what? I don't think he's ever going to say this. Like, let me just say, you know, we could go our separate ways. And because of this strange situation, I think that maybe we could get an annulment. And like, it actually had not really crossed my mind before that. I don't know what, but, and I didn't even know if that was true, but he was kind of like, up really upset. But a couple days later he was like, you know, if we can get an annulment, maybe that's a sign and we should just erase the whole thing and like go live the lives like that would make us happy. And I was like, let's try. And so that's what we did. Like we went to a court of law and we explained the situation. And like he kind of like knew the judge. Like I'm gonna be honest, like that definitely happened. But they said okay, and they like took the marriage license like out of the records and everything, and like just erased the whole thing, like it never happened.
Oh wow. And how long were you together?
Oh my, like I guess it, I mean, the marriage part was pretty short, but like the overall journey was like 7 years, so it was a long time, like it was a
Wow.
long time. But so I didn't claim the label until the next time after that when I fell in love. So like I said, so I do fall in love because I experience romantic attraction.
And do you think you
And
fall in love quite easily?
no, because like I don't fall in love like multiple times a year or anything, so I don't think it's easy. No, I've probably fallen in love only like less than 5 times in my whole life.
Okay.
But when I do, it is real. Do you know what I mean? And so
Yeah.
it happened. So I started to like fall in love with one of my male friends. And again, we had like a really, really good connection. Almost bizarre. Like we practiced like radical honesty. He was all about that. And he's like, tell me all the things. Just don't hold anything back. I love truth. And I was like, all right. Well, like I was like,
This is my situation.
And I was like, I really think that, like, sex is pretty disgusting. And, like, because we were, like, best friends. And he's like, I bet that you are just, like, the most, like, sexual vixen or whatever. And I was like, I'm not. Like, and he's like, no, you are. And I was like, I'm not. I was like, you would not believe how, like, in my true self, like, it's really, it's, like, actually the complete opposite of that. And so he actually went on the journey with me because it was really hard because we actually thought, okay, well, I mean, we were like best friends. We're like, yeah, there's like a real compatibility here. And he actually was like, there's so much. He's like, you're literally the exact person that I've been praying to God for my entire life, minus like the sex thing. And he like went in on this journey and he's like, maybe I can give this up. Like a spiritual journey, like in order to be with you. And he like really serious. And he, and again, like, I think he was willing to do it.
What, to give up sex?
Yeah. Because at that point I decided, you know, it's not worth it. Cause like, because of the guilt that I feel like it's not right to be with a man who's normal sexually and like really be asexual. Like it's not right. And so I told
normal sexually. Yeah.
Well, yeah, right, like, or average, you know what I mean, like, who's not asexual, like, it just, yeah, to me, yeah, like, it wasn't right, like, in my gut anymore, and, you know, part of me is, like, I think he might, I don't know, like, he might still be, like, holding space, but, yeah, so we got, like, really close, we lived together for a while, like, the whole thing. But eventually again, it was me. I just could not, like, I just like withdrew and I was like, listen, like, you're very interested in sex. You really enjoy yourself sexually. It's really fun for you. Like, I really don't think this is a good idea. Like, at least go and try and I will help you. So then I like helped him with the dating apps and like, aww, I helped him. And then, I mean, he's with someone now and like, I kind of helped them to find each other, at least for him to accept it. Like, so anyway, so that's kind of like where that situation is at. But he's the one that like sat down and watched like the asexual videos with me and stuff like that. And because I wasn't sure it could be really my identity. Like, yeah, or at least I thought, like, because everybody said if you are asexual, it's probably demisexual. You just have to love the person more and then you'll get the sexual feeling. So like, I will tell you, I don't know anyone who loved anyone more, because like I just kept thinking, let me get closer, more emotions, more love, and I'll get the sexual feelings. But I got really, really close, like emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, and it did not happen. Like,
yeah,
we would literally sit and like meditate together and do all the things, and it just didn't happen. Like, we were close, you know. I never experienced the sexual attraction to anyone that I was ever with. That sounds like really weird, but yeah, no, I never, and like all my girlfriends would always be like, oh my God, look at that guy. I would love to F him or whatever. And I would just be like, what? Like, in my being, I was like, are you serious? Or is this just like a performance? Do you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, like so we went through this awakening together, me and my best guy friend. Right. And he was like, you're the real thing, Maya Joy. Like, you're the real thing. Like, you're a real asexual. Like, I can't believe that I know, like, a real asexual person. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, you're right. Like, I think I actually am. And then we told our other friends and stuff like that. And they were like, well, I will say this really, like, all my guy friends started to get closer to me and start opening up their secrets. They're like, now that I know that, like, you're really not interested in sex and we're like never going to have sex, like I can tell you everything. And that's been really good. Like, it's,
I really enjoy that.
Yeah. It's been interesting, but yeah, it's been a whole lifelong journey. So if I look back, I can see I'm different. I've been different. I was always different from the very beginning when I was 3, like with my sister and our parents telling us how wonderful sex is and how it's a great thing we can look forward to one day. I think that
one day when you're older.
I think that was too early for me. Like, they should have left me out. Like, my sister was 5, but I was only 3. Like, I was potty training. It's too early. I don't think that didn't cause my asexuality. I'm not trying to say that. No. But even at that point, like, some of the sex repulsion was already there. And it just, like, kind of never wore off. So it's weird. Like, obviously, like, me out in the world, like, people looking at me, they don't assume asexuality. And many people assumed the opposite.
I think it's a very unassuming sexuality. Like, it's really hard to, like, pick someone out of the crowd and be like, you're ace or something. Do you know what I mean? It's quite, like, I think that's what leads to it being such an unspoken sexuality as well. Because it's just hidden in general, isn't it?
Well, it is hidden. Yeah, and I think for most people, their sexual interests are. But with that said, there are some people who wear it loud and proud, and there's a different generation, a younger generation, whereby, like, speaking about your asexuality is a lot more normal, natural, and acceptable, I feel. But I was raised in the millennial generation, and it wasn't that way. Like, it wasn't an option. Like, I feel like it's an option now. Like, it's
how old are you again?
Forms. So right now I'm 36.
Yeah.
So I was raised in the 90s, and this was not a thing. Like, it was, even being gay or lesbian was not a thing. Really? Yeah. It wasn't really. I mean, most people would have kept that inside. Like, everyone would have kept that inside, I would say, until they were at least an adult and were out of the home.
Yeah. So are you quite happy to sort of tell people openly now, or do you still kind of keep it to yourself unless someone maybe asks? Or, like, how do you find being open about this sexuality?
I'm not open about it right now, which is why I'm anonymous. Often I think about coming forth about a lot of things, like, that I've kept inside, but my general approach to life, and I told Amy about this before, like, I'm sort of like a professional intuitive, and I do all kinds of different readings. One of them is a human design type. And so according to my type, maybe some of you out there should look at your type. That'd be so good. But I'm called what's called a generator, which is just the most average type. But anyway, when you're supposed to just respond in life. So, like, that's what I do. Like, I kind of let people believe whatever they want about me. Nobody's asked me. Like, well, except the people that did, right? Like, my best friend and, like, my former husband. I don't know if it counts, right? Because it was erased, like, our marriage. But, like, when the people did ask, I was like, yeah, I think you're right, right? But most people are not asking. So only a few people really know. But even I've, like, dropped the term, I guess. You know where I get asked the most often is at doctors.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know if that's a thing in the UK, but we're different here in the States, like, when it comes to the medical system. But yeah, they'll ask, what is your sexuality? And it is an option, which is great. It wasn't before.
Yeah, I don't think that is an option, really. There's not really been any time where I've had to say that.
Oh, yeah, for me, just last week, I had to put it in a form for, like, a medical thing. But even then, like, I get the sense my doctors don't believe me, because often they'll ask about it. They'll be like, I see you checked the box here that says that you're not sexually active and that your orientation is asexual. Was that a mistake? Like, no, like, that's true. Like,
oh my God. Like,
this is a real thing. Like,
that's
this
wild.
Is
wild.
Do you need help? Like, no, I don't need help. Like, this is who I am.
Oh my goodness. Do you know what? That kind of goes on to, I don't know, is that discrimination? Or, like, is that
I,
like, crossing that line a little bit?
Against. Like, I think it's, like, I mean, it is pretty atypical, and that's okay. Like, I can only imagine, like, you know, for just the average person who's average sexually, like, it's hard to imagine. Like, imagine if you did, like, for me, it's just as hard to imagine actually feeling sexually attracted to a person.
Yeah,
like,
yes.
Like, when my girlfriends go and have one night stands, I'm like, how did you do that? Like, and they're like, well, you know, like, I just felt like, it was like,
how do you not? I guess.
So, I mean, that sounds very bad to me. Like, that sounds like the least that, I mean, I really don't know. So, Yeah, it's been a journey, but yeah, a lot of people still don't know. And unless like somebody asks me directly, I wouldn't tell them. I do wish more people would ask me, because I think it creates an invitation. But otherwise, like, I think it's best for people to believe what it is that gives them strength. Like, in this world, there's a lot of darkness. Like, there's a lot of difficulty. Like, is someone who believes or sees something that they want to see in me, right? Like, learning that it isn't there, is that really going to help them, like, on their journey? I don't know. I don't think so. So I just, live in my little world, and I like listen to my asexuality podcast and sometimes talk to strangers about it and my few friends that know. And that's been okay for me now. Like, I don't know if that will ever change. I probably, I guess this is changing it.
It's a step, definitely, if you want to go down that path. But I totally get it. Like, I'm not open massively. Like, I don't talk about it on my own personal Instagram, and like, I won't just randomly bring it up and stuff. But I was just wondering, like, is a relationship something that you are looking to be involved with in the future? Is a relationship something you're looking to,
Yeah, that's a
have?
good question. So, like right now, I don't really know. So, I've kind of been doing an experiment. So, I experimented with several long-term, like monogamous relationships with men. And so, now I have data. Like, okay, that's what it's like. And I feel like to do that, right? Like, there's some level of compromises required. And so, I've only been in this like short phase. It's only been a year now that I haven't like been living with a man at all, like, or at least like trying for a relationship. So, I don't know, there's like costs and benefits to it, but I'm pretty happy like on my own. The main thing is like everyone that loves me like wants me to be with a partner. So that part puts pressure on me. And I thought about, and you guys have talked about this on the podcast, but like asexual dating, but it's really not something that's like very well structured at this time. Like, I'm not sure it's like set up for
There's no
success.
structure whatsoever.
Right. And so, like, part of the reason why I guess like I want to tell my story, or I think about telling my story, is because I do feel like I am just like kind of a normal person, or like a relatable person. And like, if you were to use like a dating app like that, you might not get the impression that most asexual people were. Do you know what I mean? And so, but it is kind of, it's been kind of confusing. So this to me, like talking to you today about my story, is just kind of dipping my toe in. I guess, do you know the statistics? Is it like 1 in 100 people are asexual, or I think it's
I don't
something.
know the statistics. I could Google it. Maybe I'll put it in the show notes, but and talk about it next time. But I think there are definitely more people out there. But also, I think the statistics are quite hard because I don't think it's a very well known and educated about sexuality in the first place. And two, I don't think many people want to admit it still. So I think it's more of a matter of how many people are openly asexual. Rather
Yes.
than actually, do you know what I mean?
I think like even about 1% at least are openly asexual. So the
I
other
think it is. Yeah, I think
5%.
it's something like that.
But even if it was that's like 1 out of 100 people. So that's
Still a
actually
lot.
a lot. That's a lot of good people in the world that are probably, well, those are the ones that identify. So I don't know where everyone's hiding, but maybe I need to like open my eyes, because like ideal circumstances, like the ideal relationship with me for me would be with someone who also really actually didn't want sex, wasn't sacrificing it like to the gods for me or whatever, but like really didn't want it.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Like, would
Yeah.
you want to be with someone who also identifies as ace?
I would have to try it, and see how the relationship was. I think if it was good in other ways, like we had other shared interests and it was honest and those sorts of things, then probably, yeah. It's hard because I've never had that experience. But I do enjoy relationships in other ways. And if you were to take that part out and take away all the guilt, like, then that could probably be amazing. Like, I think
What's
I'm
like,
like relational.
yeah, what's like your favorite part of a relationship? Like, what would say, what's your like love language, would you say? Or yeah, what's your favorite thing about being in a relationship?
Well, love language is probably words of affirmation, but I just love spending time. Like, I love like all the inside jokes and all the long conversations. I think I love all the secrets. You know, when you have like a long-term partner, there's all those little moments that you can refer to, and then you go out and you have your little like you wink at the right moment and you know, that's like our thing, or here's what we're gonna talk about later. Like just all of those special moments, like the bond itself, do you know? Like
Yeah.
that's my favorite thing. Yeah, like just being close to the person and all the special things that you share that are just between the two of you that no one else will ever know about.
Yeah, just like having your person and sort of like, you know, they're going to be there for you in the morning, at the end of the day. And for me, I really like the physical, like the hugs and the kisses and like, yeah, like you say, almost like inside jokes and just like being able to read each other in a room full of people and things like that.
Yeah, and I mean, I love cuddling, I love hand holding, I love like long walks in nature and all that stuff. But even that, I started to feel guilty about because, like, I would do that, you know, with my male best friend and stuff. And I could tell, like, it was increasing his attraction. Like, we would go on long walks, like, by the riverside and stuff. And I could tell, like, afterwards, like, it was increasing his sexual attraction, too. So even that I like started to turn away from. But I do, you see what I'm saying? Because like in these circumstances, like yes, like I really love cuddling, and like for me it's not sexual, but like it for in my circumstances, like if you start cuddling and acting in those ways for a person who is sexual, it does tend to increase sexual attraction for that person.
Yeah, I guess like for a lot of people as well, like they're often the first steps into sexual activity, isn't it? So without having like that clear understanding and communication between your partners, like anyone would just think, oh, this is where it's leading to.
Yeah, but to your question of like whether I want a relationship or not, I mean, right now, I think you're dating, right? But I'm not, like, I'm not, you're
I'm
supposed to.
trying. I'm trying.
I mean, how are you with like New Year's resolutions generally? Because like this one, it doesn't seem like you're really following through. Like,
I feel like I'm being really outed right now. I'm being confronted on this.
well, you said it, right? Like you said you were gonna go on one date a month, I thought, and then like none.
It didn't look, life got in the way. I went on, I tried to set one up. It didn't work. I did message someone. Like I slid into someone's DMs, but they've not replied.
Okay, well, we've got time. We still have 6 months.
We got time. Maybe no, I do need to up it. And I say this every podcast. I'm like, maybe I'll message someone tonight, or like maybe I'll go on the apps. But you know, the apps are like, I think the apps are like the only way for me to date at the minute. Like I'm not in an environment where I'm meeting a load of bunch of new people. So I think the
I
apps are
think you
like,
should go to like a speed dating event or
I
something like
really,
your
yes.
city.
I really, really, really want to do one this year. I really, really want to.
Yeah, you do that. Do that and then make a podcast episode. But I
I will
think
do that.
that is the best way. And then you can catch up. So like you already missed 6 dates, so you can get them all in one night.
Oh my God. That's and then my New Year's resolution is back on track.
Yeah, like that's gonna be the best approach. That's gonna be
Okay.
the approach. But yeah, no, I've literally never tried going on any date and being like, I'm asexual. I think that would be fun to try, but I just feel really like right now I still feel really bad, like for I guess like letting anyone have feelings for me and then letting them down in that way, even if it's brief. Like I don't want to do that. So
Would
I guess
you, I guess, like, would you just be outright like, this is who I am from the very beginning before any sort of feelings even begin?
I think eventually I'd like to try that, but I think I need to like team up with someone to give me strength. Do you know what I mean? Like, and force me to do it. I right now, so I said I was living like near Yellowstone National Park, and I just said that because a lot of people know where that is. But if you're from the States, it's the state of Wyoming, which is like one of the most conservative states. This
Oh.
is not where I've always lived, but especially here, I'm not 100% sure how safe it would be to like put myself on a dating app, for example, and say asexual. There's pretty like 1950s standard relationship models playing out all around me, like everywhere around
Really?
me. So, yeah, I don't know. But I feel like if or when the time is right, I will have the energy for that. Like, I'll be like, just like I have at other moments for other things. Like, I just be like, okay, now I'm ready.
Yeah.
But I think I've been sort of like hoping, waiting that like the asexuality dating apps will like catch up with the times. Do you know what I
Yeah.
mean?
And I hope that people are brave enough to actually go on them and be real. Do you know what I mean? Because, yeah, it is interesting sometimes the caliber of people who are open about it and, yeah, very open about it, talk about it, and what's the word like? I can't remember what the word is, but yeah, it's interesting because I see similarities in them. And I don't see those similarities in myself. And I think that's where like the feeling of feeling alone with this came from. And that's where I really struggled. Well, one of the big struggles. So yeah, I hope that a wider variety of people start to be open about the community. That's what I
I
hope.
think that would be good, yes. And you're doing it, and you're an excellent role model. And maybe I should be doing it more too. But yeah, I'm glad for everyone who speaks about their asexuality. But yeah, I
Yes.
didn't fully identify with the typical type that you would see.
Yeah.
Although I think that they're amazing, and I'm really fascinated like by that generation and their experience in general. Because for them, like, not only has it been an option to identify as asexuality, like, or with asexuality in some cases, but what I'm really thinking right now is like some of them also had the option to identify as unicorns or like cats or like all kinds of things. And that's just different. Like, that's just different than my experience. So,
Yeah.
but I
What is
believe.
what would you say is like stopping you from talking about it openly?
That's a good question. I think that there's many things. I was saying to Amy before we started recording, like I have kind of a bit of a public presence. And it's a long story, but there are people that literally believe in true love, like because of me. And they see within me this hope and potential to have everything, like in a relational context. And a lot of people come to me for advice, like related to relationships. And I can tell you that I'm able to give them much greater advice because I'm not clouded by sexuality. So I can see their situations a lot more clearly. And I think that's why my advice like works for these people. But I
Do you
guess
think
like
it
the
might they might not like trust you if they fa like as much if they found out?
I feel that it could shake some people's foundational realities. That's how I feel. Because they might be like, well, if I thought this about Maya the whole time and I was wrong. Like I deal with a lot of highly, highly sensitive people, empaths, very much on that sort of path. And so I think that it could make them like doubt their whole reality. They're like, my intuition told me like this thing about Maya. It was like completely wrong. Like, what else am I wrong about? Like, I know as a matter of fact, like, if I, as much as anyone can know anything intuitively, right? Like, if I do step out, there are people that will have that reaction. And I just like don't want to hurt their hearts.
But
But it is.
do you want to be open about it? And do you think it would help you to be open about it? Because I feel like in these kind of situations, you have to be selfish. Like this is your life, and you don't want someone else's responses to impact your life negatively.
I want to be open about it. Like, if I lived in my ideal world and I never took into account anyone else's feelings, yeah, like I would be open about everything. There's tons of experiences like that I've had in life that I would love to speak about it publicly, but I don't out of fear of distressing the audience.
I
Like
don't think
most.
it will. I mean, I don't know, but I think distress is quite a big word. But I do feel like, is it causing more distress to you not doing it?
Maybe. Like, I think I would need a professional assessment to know, right?
Yeah,
Like,
I'm no therapist. I'm just asking some difficult questions.
I think, like, so for example, I was raised in a haunted house, and I went through this period, like really truly, like the Amityville horror, but in real life. And so I actually, like, on YouTube, I shared a little bit about those experiences. And so again, I think I have a highly sensitive audience, but they were like, "This is really scary. Please stop. Like, I'm scared. I can't allow myself to know that this happened to you." And so I
Yeah.
deleted, like, out of respect, I deleted that content. But I think, like, there's been all these moments where I've learned, like, don't speak about these things that are upsetting to, like, the highly sensitive. Maybe just focus on what they want from me.
But also,
And
yeah, but you're not there necessarily to like serve other people, and if they don't want to listen to this and they find it distressing or confusing or whatever, they just don't have to watch it. You'll find like you're more your audience who are truly interested in you and truly support you if you're more open, I guess. Like you'll find your people.
That's an interesting perspective, like, because what you said there, fundamentally, I think I've defined my life in a different way. Like, I do feel I'm here to serve people. I've always felt that. My life is, like, completely centered around service.
But I feel like
Everything
you
I
have to serve yourself right properly. It's a bit like help yourself before you help other people. You know, on an aeroplane where they say, make sure you give yourself the oxygen mask before you help a child. You have to help yourself first in order to help other people efficiently. Do you know what I
So
mean?
you really think I should really step out?
No, I just, no. I think you should focus on yourself and give yourself some more love and respect in a way, and also you don't have responsibility of other people's feelings. Like you're your person, you owe yourself your truthful life. Oh wow, we're getting really deep. But
No,
do you know
like,
what I mean? I feel like if that's something you want to do, you should definitely do it. And I don't think the weight of other people's opinions and lives should hold you back for that.
So I guess I am doing it, right? Like, right now, like, I told myself, like, right, I could do this interview and then just put it forth to my audience and be like, okay, like, if this interests you, like, I was a guest on this podcast or whatever. So
Absolutely.
far, like, I guess I've assumed, like, one day I will wake up and I'll just be like, today's the day. And I'll just, like, sit down in front of a camera or whatever and say, like, the many things that I've
And
wanted to
if that,
say.
if it, yeah, I really believe in that. Like, you won't do something until you're personally ready for it. So don't pressure yourself into speaking about it if you don't feel ready, because you'll do it in your own time. But I do think if it's something that you do feel like might be right, then don't suppress those feelings and thoughts for the benefit of someone else.
Amy, are you an actor or are you a therapist or both?
You know what? I think I'm just really overtired, and actually sometimes when I get overtired, my brain thinks logically.
No, I do the exact same thing. No, and I think that you're right. And I guess I've always assumed, like, here's something that has been true in my life. So I have a strange life story overall, but, like, in my life, multiple times when I've started talking about something, it's really taken off, Like, and so I've been through, like, different topics over time. So I've always thought, okay, I will, one day I'll open this door. But when I do, like, I need to be prepared to, like, actually do the thing just in case.
But also, like, it might not be as big as you think.
You're right. No, you're right. But I need to at least be ready. Like,
Yeah.
if people have follow-up questions, and I need to get right, and I need to, like, ensure my mother knows first and stuff like that, like, just in case.
Yeah, completely.
And
Like, I definitely didn't start talking about it until I was a bit more, like, confident and more knowledgeable about it as well. Like, I completely agree with that.
And for me, the identity itself, like, it wasn't until some of my close friends started mirroring it back to me that I realized, no, this really, really is real. Like, 100%. And for me, that's been key. So before, I was still having all these experiences, but I didn't know for sure that asexuality was real, or that I didn't think it was happening to me. I thought that what everyone else was seeing within me really was there. So yeah, so it hasn't actually been that long. I mean, it's been like less than a year that I've been working with the concept. So I guess
really? Less than a year.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was so new to you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, I heard the term a long time ago, but I didn't believe it. Like, I didn't, like, actually think that it was my experience. Like, I still thought, like, love the person more, get closer emotionally, like, gray asexual. And, like, eventually you'll get the feelings. And to me, like, is that not what gray asexual is? That's demisexual. I don't know. But to
me, I actually get confused, but I know that I feel like I'm those both of them, so I just use them the same.
Yeah, and I think, like, most people are that. And so for me, that's not, I don't know, not the same. But then, like, to realize my experience was kind of, like, you know, a little bit more extreme, and it really was. And, like, at this point in my life, it's not going to change. Like, I had experienced, like, the best connections that people do really desire, like meeting your soulmate, falling in love with your best friend, like all these things that are like classic, like for if you're going to get it. You know what I mean? Like, if you're demisexual and you're going to develop those sexual feelings, they would happen. Right, I gave my ideal circumstances in both cases, like in all the cases, like really long relationships, living with the people, all the ways, 36 questions, like the whole thing. And it never happened. So
I think it makes sense then, doesn't it? I guess.
So I think I've been like, and I think this podcast has like really helped me, but I think I've been in a state of acceptance, like where maybe I'm only just now like really beginning to like fully appreciate, like, this is never gonna change. Like, this is, it's weird, Amy. Like, when everybody else like sees something in you, like, it's hard not to think that it's there.
I know.
So I just thought it was there, like, and I needed to discover it because that's what everybody said. But yeah, no. So I think it's probably, if we're talking about like really believing that it isn't there, like maybe I still think, like, maybe, I don't know, like, no, but it's probably not. Yeah. Like, definitely not. Like, I would say I'm like 98% accepted.
That's really good.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. But like, I still right now have people in my life, like all the time, that project onto me this sexual identity. And every single time I'm like, what if they're right? Do you know what I mean? Because they're so confident. And I still have people all the time, like,
well, give you know what, me though, as well,
like, and all that stuff, because they think that I want it or need it and stuff. Yeah. And I just, it's hard. It's strange. You know, we live in a, well, here in the States, and I'm pretty sure in the UK, right? Like, it's a pretty, like, sex-positive culture, and you see reflections of sex at this age, especially in your 30s and stuff, like, all around you. And, yeah, so it's, since I don't know, I mean, this is helpful, like, actually, like, seeing you and talking to you today, but because I never knew anybody else, like, that was asexual. It's like when you're having an experience and you're the only one, it's like, is this real? It is kind of like the haunted house thing. It's like, what if this isn't happening? Even though, like, it was obviously happening, but like none of my other friends, like as little kids, were having those experiences at home. So when you're unique in your experience, you really ask, is it happening? And that's a fair question. So I wanted to be sure, like 100% sure, ideally. Yes, this is really happening. Yes, this is really how I am. Like, I wanted to do maximal experiments to see what I eventually get, sexual attraction, like 100% sure before I step out and say, listen, this is my experience, like definitively. So I think I'm pretty much there now.
Aww.
I mean, I can't imagine like trying any harder or giving it more time. I mean, like, If it doesn't happen in 7 years, I mean, I don't think it's going to.
I do, yeah, I think there's maybe something to admit there. Oh, look, thank you so much. This has been an absolute joy.
I loved it. Like,
I would love, like, maybe there's more to discuss here. Maybe I'll get my friend on and we can have a proper, another proper chinwag. Wow, we've been recording for nearly an hour. That's crazy.
It is crazy, isn't it?
It's been so lovely.
Like, if the stars align at any point, or if people have questions or topics, yeah. But this was fun, you know, and I realized, like, I thank you for playing therapist for me. Like, I think I realized, like, that I've accepted it now. Yeah. But this is my first time, like, really speaking about it where anyone will hear me, except for those couple close friends that I have. Oh. You know, we spend just, like, one-on-one in secret, and they're like, well, you know, we won't tell anyone except each other. So it's just, like, our little pod of secrecy. So I think this has come a long way in helping me to accept this. And I don't like the idea that there's, like, a lot of asexual people that are struggling and feeling alone or different. So, yeah, at some point, like, I should probably tell my story and maybe some people can relate. And let them actually see me and know who I am.
Oh, well, look, I truly believe you'll do things when you're ready and at your own pace. So never feel pressurized. You don't owe anyone anything. And all that stuff. You've been amazing today. Thank you so much for telling us your story.
Thank you for having me, Amy. Thank you for what you're doing with the podcast and for the community. Oh, it is so needed.
Oh, I'm going to have to come over to America now.
Asexual people are real, and not everybody who's asexual is demisexual.
Okay. Yes, you say it.
But if you're not sure, it is a good idea to try a relationship and see, because you never know.
You never so. Know. Never box yourself in. Never lock away that. Never, yeah, box yourself and lock it away.
Just be honest with the person all the way through. You know, perfect. That's the key.
Right, I'm going to wrap it up there. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. It's double the length, you lucky listener. We'll be back probably with my anonymous friend again next week. We've got lots to discuss. Exciting times. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. Back in your ears next week.